The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action in Fairy House, and joining me on the line to go through all seven races this afternoon is William Hill Radio's Irish Racing expert, Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
I'm good, mate. I'm good.
Good man. What do you make of today's card in Fairy House?
Yeah, as I just chatted to you off air, a lot of track specialists running here today and horses that have actually gone well on this card before. So I'm hoping that history will strike more than one or two occasions today.
Okay, good stuff. Hopefully so. Andy will highlight them as we go along, I'm sure. Just a quick note, soft to heavy in Fairy House today. The weather is playing havoc with most meetings, but it never really threatened to get in the way of Fairy House, but it's going to be pretty testing there, isn't it, today?
Yeah, and I think they'll probably use the brush hurdle as well today, which is very significant because quite a few of the horses that have won here before have encountered the French-style obstacles rather than the timber hurdles, which sometimes... I've turned up here at this moment. You never really know. I always think that should be in the paper as well. It should be a prefix in the paper to tell punters what obstacles they are actually jumping, where they are going to jump the fixed brush or whether they are going to jump the timber hurdle. I think it's right. They do it in Haydock when they tell you there's a fixed brush race, but bizarrely in Ireland they don't do it, which is a little bit annoying.
Mm. Okay, well, let's get stuck into it anyway. The first race is the 110 this afternoon. We start here with the mare's maiden hurdle over 2.5 miles. Queen's Wild heads the market at 11-4. 72 for Arise and Go now. 16 again is 92 from 6-1. Ayana is 5s with Aunt Nora. Blazing West 10s and 12-1 are bigger prices. For the others, Queen's Wild at the top of the market there, Andy. Edward Harty had a winner at the weekend, or is stable return to form kind of at the weekend. Ruby Walsh is an interesting jockey booking as well. Do you see her having a favourite's chance?
Not necessarily, no. I think this is a weak favourite. It's certainly one that I wouldn't want to be rushing to take 11-4 about anyway. Obviously, yard in form, and Ruby Walsh booked, as you mentioned, is a positive, but did get beat a fair way last time out down in Limerick, which I suppose is good and bad. Depends which way you look at it. The ground's always desperate there, so at least it's proving itself on filthy conditions, but obviously it's got to prove itself back over hurdles because Unseated Rider on its last visit over the smaller obstacles. But as I mentioned at the top of the preview, I'm sticking to course and distance form here largely today, as and when I can. And I thought the best run recently from such a horse is from Arise and Go now, who has run twice well here at this track. First of all, when finishing fifth in a decent maiden hurdle back in the day, and then returning to the track, chased home Missy Pett the other day. I like the way this horse travelled actually that day. I thought she was certain to win going down to 2 out, and she kind of pricked her ears and messed around a little bit in front, and it gave the winner a little bit of a chance late on to Dive Bomber, and she did. The tongue tie was on for the first time, and I think that was one of the main reasons why Edward Corley's charge improved significantly on previous runs. So with the contraption on again, and obviously Brian Cooper booked as well, I think connections really do mean business today. You've certainly got to include Aunt Nora into the equation because she finished third in that aforementioned race. So you could sort of juggle around with those two. But if you wanted just one safe each way bet, then look no further than Arise and Go now.
Okay, Arise and Go now in the opener then for Andy. The second race is the 140, and this one is a maiden hurdle over 2.5 miles. We have a pretty short price favourite this morning in the shape of Alti Pix, who's 4-7 at the time of recording this. Boris de Blaise 7-2, 11-2 for Clounce Meadows. Let's High Five It is 14-1, 16s for Ballyadeen, and 20s or bigger for the others. Starting with the obvious starting point here, Andy, the favourite Alti Pix, who ran a very good race to chase home a fellow Jigginstown runner in Alpha Des Obo a few starts back. Now that form stands out quite markedly here. If he reproduces that kind of effort, he'd win this, wouldn't he?
He should do, really, I suppose. He's put in a very short price here this morning at 4-7. I think there are one or two nice each way alternatives. We'll get onto that in a second, but certainly Alti Pix does set the standard on that run behind Alpha Des Obo. Of course, has seen the backside of Duvan in recent times. And then he went on to win himself, Danny Tremore, beating Delvin Road, who was given an odd ride the other day at Bangor. I thought he was a bit disappointed, if I'm being brutally honest, the other day at Leopardstown. OK, he might have been up against a decent standard of horse in the shape, of course, Visual, who's very highly regarded by Dermot Weld, and obviously Bells Hill as well. From the Mullins camp, he's got quite a reputation attached to him. But I thought he faded quite markedly off the home turn, having travelled strongly throughout. I thought he was sure to finish in the first three, but he couldn't quite go on, and in the end it was quite a limp finish. He's up in trip here today, and maybe that might just might help him, because he's a point-to-point winner, and he's already proven over the trip. But it's just not the kind of horse I want to be backing at 4-7. I mean, I'm not going to be here tipping 4-7 shots on a regular basis. I'm always looking for the filthy each-way horse in a race like this, and I'm not going to let the podcasters down and offer up Clout's Meadow as the alternative to the favourite here. You can back this horse around about 11-2 with William Hill. Hard to see this horse not finishing in the frame, given its run. An encouraging run as well at that at Thurles the other day behind two very nice horses. I think that Rue de France, the horse that won that, is a very interesting runner from the Mullins camp. Wouldn't surprise me if that horse went down the old Don Polly route and ended up running in the Martin Pipe handicap, because Giggingstown have got a really good record in that race. Of course, Sir Deschamps won it many years ago, and it obviously the Giggingstown operation usually like to have a runner in that race, and runners that run round Clonmel and Thurles end up going into that race. Don Polly, I think, warmed up for a tilt at that prize when he ran at Thurles. So keep your eye on that winner that day. And this is the first horse really to represent that form. And I like the way this horse travelled throughout that race. He couldn't live with the front two once they're quicking away from him. But it was a really encouraging effort. He's bound to have needed the run and the experience. And I think, like I say, 11-2, 6-1. He looks the obvious each-way bet against the short price favourite.
Okay. You can also back him without the favourite, Andy, on the pro race card, 5-2 in that market. Would that appeal to you?
I mean it does, but I'd rather just go for the each way, because I think he can beat the favourite. It's not one of those ones where I think the favourite's invincible and, you know, we've got no chance of knocking him off his perch. I think this is a really good each way bet. We've got the play side of the bet covered, and let's go for the big pot and try and get the 11-2 on the win side in the can.
Yeah. Okay. Good stuff.
Let's be brave.
Yeah. If you won and you backed him without, you'd feel a bit aggrieved, wouldn't you? So fair enough. The 2.15 is the third race on the card. This one is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles. It's for 4-year-olds and older that are rated 80-95. The market is headed by Misty Lady, who's 4-1. Fives for Fort Carson, Lakefield sixes, 7-1 for Rebel Cry. Leaders Questions is 8-1. The Party's Over is also eights, but that's a reserve. Visible Light tens with Goth and Nice, and 12-1 or bigger prices for the others. You say you'd want to side with Course and Distance form today, Andy. Well, Missy Lady won this race last year, and she's been knocking on the door, suggesting she's in pretty good heart at the moment. Do you see her as the one to beat here?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. This is the selection here. Available to back around about 4-1. Does look a nice, generous each-way price. Hard to see her not running well for us here. On her two visits here to Fairy House, she's managed to finish first and third, respectively. Of course, that was her only win here last year, 12 months ago, when she caused a bit of a surprise, but she's gone on to prove that it's been no fluke, because she's run quite consistently well of late. Yet to finish out the first three in her last three starts. Good third here on the 19th of November as well, behind Broadway Twist and Duty Dance. I thought John Cullen that day made a bit of a tactical error when he jumped the second last in front, looking as though he was going to replicate that previous victory. But he shifted down onto the inside rail, and in doing that, he forfeited his chances because he ran on the swamp. That race was towards the back end of the card, and round the inside was very much the slowest part of the track, and the front two came up the stand side rail. So I think it was a much better run than the official losing margin suggests. She comes off the back of a good run the other day down in Limerick, indicating that she's still holding her form. Basically, she loves the track, strong traveller. John Cullen knows her well, been prepared for the race, had three runs, just like she did last year prior to coming onto this race. So let's keep it simple, go with Misty Lady each way.
Okay, Misty Lady in the 2.15. The 2.45 is the fourth race on the card. This one is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 7 furlongs. It's for 4-year-olds and older that are rated 80-109. And we have 5-1 joint favourites this morning in Zippera and King Blue. Hard Bought is 13-2. 7-1 for Some Drama. 8s for Bloomsday and Duty Dance, but that one is a reserve. 9-1 for Mallards in Flight, and 10s or bigger prices for the others. One of the more open races on the card, Andy, as the betting suggests there. So how would you play the 2.45?
Yeah, I think this is a fairly straightforward affair. Certainly is from where I'm sitting anyway. Probably other punters might look at it differently. But I'm going to take on the favourite here, Zipanora. Connections have done really well with this mare. They've managed to get two wins out of it. And Ricky Doyle has been very much responsible for those two victories when he's been allowed to dictate a soft pace at the head of affairs and basically get first run on his rivals. I can't believe that they let him go last time at Thurles, considering he did that at Clonmel two starts back. He got taken on at Limerick over the Christmas period, and that was when she was at the most vulnerable. So a lot depends on whether Zipporah does get pestered for the early lead. And with that in mind, I'm going to look for something else lurking in the pack. In fact, two others. The main one being King Blue. Now, this horse has run a series of good races here at Fairy House. Fifth in a bumper, third in a novice hurdle, and then second last time out in a handicap behind the easy winner at Leopardstown on Sunday, Maidor from the Tony Martin stuff. The way that horse won at Ireland's premier track then, I certainly suggest that anything that's finished within hailing distance of that horse has got to be recommended next time out, particularly as it comes back to the same course as well. I love the way that King Blue travelled in that race, and he was the only one that offered any kind of resistance to Tony Martin's charge. They put well clear of the rest. So that's got to be the pick of the form coming into this race. So King Blue would definitely be my number one choice. And the other one to mention is Some Drama. Now, this horse comes with a little bit of a wealth warning from a win perspective, yet to win in 15 starts. But again, another horse that's run really well here at Fairy House on four separate occasions. A third, a fourth, a second and a fourth in recent times suggests that he's almost certain to be there or thereabouts here for each way backers. And his run last time out certainly indicated that as well, with a good run behind Abolutionist and Triplets Joy. Again, another jockey that slipped onto that slippery inside of the track at Fairy House, which was his undoing in the latter stages. He ended up running on the quagmire around the inside. So hopefully Conor Maxwell won't do exactly what he did the other day and bring the horse down the middle to stand side. If he does so, then sure, this horse has got to go close. So at 7-1 and 6-1 respectively this morning, I think King Blue and Some Drama, the two horses you should attack with in the 2:45.
Okay, couple against the field then in the 2:45 market, speaking in favour of King Blue this morning as well, 13-2 into 5-1 at the time of recording this. The 3:15 is the fifth race on the card. This one is a beginner's chase over 3 miles, and the market headed by Balbier du Matin, who's even money, 7-4 for Thunder and Roses, 10s for The Boss's Cousin, 14s for Catnap, and 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. There's a bit of form that links Balbier du Matin and Thunder and Roses together, Andy. Those two priced up as if it's a match between the two. Do you see it that way yourself?
Absolutely, yeah. This is a good clash today. It's actually one of the best races of the entire day, certainly for novice chasers going forward. And both of them tie in with a couple of horses maybe that might be festival bound as well. So I think we'll get quite a few clues to the strength of their form. And my number one choice here, my nap of the afternoon, my nap of the day, is Balbier du Matin, who's been put in at, I wouldn't say generous even money at William Hill, but certainly a price worth taking. And he's up against his old rival, Thunder and Rosie. Now, these two clashed early on in the season here over this course. And for me, Balbier du Matin was a miles better horse on the day than Thunder and Roses. He travelled and he jumped really strongly in the hands of Adrian Heskin. And he went down to two out looking as though he was going to win. And unfortunately, he overjumped. I don't think it was a desperate mistake, but he kind of nudged the top. And his momentum got him on the floor. Now, that was a really hot race. Andriana Demott was in there. Of course, that horse has gone on to win subsequently down in Limerick. Rule the World ran a good race on Saturday. And Thunder Roses are back in third and had every chance, in my opinion. Probably would have been beaten upwards around about 5-10 lengths by Balbier du Matin. So with that in mind, certainly think Gordon Elliott's charge has got the advantage. Now, they've both gone their separate ways subsequently. Thunder and Roses have come here back at this track and fell at the second last, the same fence that Balbier du Matin tumbled at in the race won by Val de Furbo, so he's clearly improved for the run. But I do like the run of Balbier du Matin again himself. That was a tremendous effort at Fairy House over the Christmas period when he was second to the very good horse. Smart horse in the making, the Vaunt Downtown. I do think that Liz Dawes got a good horse on her hands there. She always has done, but fences have seemed to have improved that particular horse. And Balbier du Matin went with his horse in the latter stage. Now, that race was a very strongly run race for a seven-runner field. They ran the last circuit an incredible 3 seconds faster than Road to Riches did in the Lexus Chase. I got Road to Riches doing 3:12.2 for the circuit. And I got Balbier du Matin, who was second, at running 3:09.5. So he's running quicker than a Grade 1 horse on that same card. So I think he's a really good horse in the making, this Balbier du Matin. If he can stay on his feet, get four legs on the ground, I think he's got the pace and the quality to beat Thunder and Rosie again. And as I said, I think even money is a fair enough price.
Okay, best bet on the card then for Andy. Did you say best bet of the day as well?
He'll go on the Knapp Stable as my best bet of the card.
Right, good stuff. The 3:45 is the penultimate race in Fairy House this afternoon. It's a handicap chase over 2 miles and 5 furlongs, and Glenn Ode is a pretty short favourite at 15-8 in this race. De Benno is 7-1 with Harang and Tyrone House, 15-2 for Ardmillan. Aquavine is 12-1 and 14s or bigger for the others. What do you make of Glenn Ode, Andy? Because the Thurless win looks pretty good. He's £8 higher here, but is 15-20 a bit short here?
It probably is. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. But at the same time, I think he'll win if he jumps a clear round. I think the bookmakers have probably got it right, or the punters have got it right. He was available at an amazing 3-1. I think a 3-1 was way too big because he just looks a cast apart to this lot. Certainly on the evidence that Thurley's run, he travelled and just basically never came with the bridle to win that day. He was actually eased down. The official winning margin doesn't really spell out his total dominance and superiority over the field that day. And it was just the first time really this horse has got his jumping boots on, because prior to that he's made mistakes, he's been seated rider before, and he's just been a bit clumsy and a bit ignorant over his obstacles. And now this is definitely a more severe test of jumping here today at Fairy House, which is a slightly off-putting prospect. But if Philip Enright can get him switched on from an early stage and get him into a good rhythm, then I do think this Glenn Ode is just a cut apart from this lot. The way he moved, the way he went through that race, he looked a much better horse than a 95 rated horse, or 87 as it was on the day. So I've got to go with him again, really. It'll be churlish of me not to go with the obvious. There are obviously one or two others who've got some decent track form that could take advantage. One at a massive price called Witness of Fashion. It's 25-1 with William Hill this morning. Now, this horse has got a series of modest runs of late, but he does go really well for local connections here at Fairy House. So do keep an eye on him. And, of course, he won here last year as well. He's only career victory under rule. So keep an eye on him at a big price. But I've got to stick with Glenn Ode. If he jumps really well, gets into a good rhythm, then he should be good enough.
Yeah, and with Witness in Fashion as well, they've put the visor on for the first time instead of the cheap pieces, so that might spring him back to life a little bit.
Exactly.
Okay. The 4:15 is the seventh race on the card, the final race this afternoon. We finish here with a mare's bumper over 2 miles, and the market headed by 10 times better, who's 5-2, 3-1 for Kate Appleby Shoes, Mystique is 4-1, 6-1 for Margaret, Hello Sweetie is 8s with Chris Kindle, and 10-1 or bigger prices. For the others, quite a tricky end to the card. I know the market will obviously be informative, but 10 times better has the probably best form on offer. Did you see her as the one to beat in the final race?
Yeah, she probably does, doesn't she? That run behind Bonnie Kate, who went on to run a good race at Leopardstown over hurdles on Sunday, certainly represents the best current form anyway. And it's difficult to sort of make concrete cases out for many of the others. And there are a lot of unknown quantities in this race. We've got Mystique, of course, from the Gordon Elliott stable in there, having her first run, and one or two coming from the point-to-point fields as well, called Goulain Davina has won a point-to-point recently. So it is always difficult to keep tabs on what these are all about and the different form lines involved, but I'm going to have to stick with that 10 times better. I like the way that she stayed on from the back of the field at Punchestown in what seemed to be a decent run race. Not much fee figures suggest that was certainly no crawl, and they went a good gallop. So with that run under a belt in a similar race to that one today, then I'll stick with the obvious one. So 10 times better in the last.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Andy. Good luck. If you'll spin us through your selections, we'll have a little bit of a summary before you go.
Yeah, not a bad card here today at Fairy House. I'm quite keen on quite a few of these horses that have run well at the track recently, and we'll start off with Arise and Go Now, who showed really well in the first time Tong Tai here last time out, and on the evidence of that, almost certain to go well for each way backers in the first. The 140, favourites very, very short here. Alty Picks, he's run three starts to go, went second to a nice horse of Mouse Morris's. He's probably the key form line, but he was a bit disappointing the last day, so I'm going to go with Clout Spendo each way against him. 215, well, Misty Lady just stands out like a sore thumb here. She won the race last year. She arrives here in great nick, and track record is such that it's hard to see her not running well. 245, again, a couple of horses that love this Fairy House venue. Some Drama, he's yet to be out the first four in four starts. And King Blue travelled really well behind My Door last time out of one over the weekend. That looks the best recent form. That's still do for me against the field. 315, best bet of the day. Best bet on the card is Balbeard, the math, and even money to get the better result for Thunder and Roses. 345, if Glenn Ode jumps a clear round, then he should be good enough to defy the £8 rise. And then the final race, 10 times better. ran a smashing race first time out behind a nice horse in Almeads, and if replicating that run, should go well for us in the final race.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much, Andy. Good luck today, and enjoy the action in Fairy House.
Thanks, buddy.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.